Still alive? Y/N. Knees knocking, I type Y. Return. Welcome, Bob. You are authenticated. If you are reading this message, I'm absent. Welcome to the dead man's boots. Hope you don't find them too tight. You are one of only four people who have access to this machine, and at least two of them are dead or dying of K syndrome. You may read all files not flagged with a Z prefix, search all files not flagged with a Z prefix, and print any files flagged with a prefix from A to Q. You may not read or search Z prefix files, print files flagged with a prefix from S to Z, dismantle or reverse engineer this instrument. Warning: lethal enforcement protocols are enforced. Right. Go to main menu. Y/N. This is Angleton. He doesn't bluff. I make a note of those clearances on my phone. Then, hesitantly, I type Y. I have, in fact, seen worse-designed user interfaces. There are abominations out there that claim to be personal media players that... But I digress. The Mimex is a miracle of simplicity and good design, as long as you bear in mind that it's operated by foot pedals, except for the paper tape punch. The display is a microfilm reader, and it can't display more than 10 menu choices on screen at any time. Unlike early digital computers such as the Manchester Mark I, you don't need to be Alan Turing and debug raw machine code on the fly by flashing a torch at the naked phosphor memory screen. You just need to be able to type on a Bordeaux keyboard using both feet, with no delete key and lethal retaliation promised if you make certain typos. There's nothing here that's remotely as hostile as VMCMS to a Unix hacker. I've just got an edgy feeling that Memex is reading me and sitting in quietly humming judgment. So I spend half an hour reading the quick start guide, and then... Right. Document to retrieve. I find the shift pedal, kick the Memex into numerical entry mode, and type Fetch 10.0.792.560. Not found. Right. Document to retrieve. Shit. I try again. Fetch index. There is a whirring and a chunking sound from within the desk. Aha. After several sluggish seconds, a new menu appears. Right. Enter document code number. Fetch 10.0.792.560. More whirring and a brief pause. Then the screen clears to display everything the Memex knows about the missing file. Document index entry. Number 10.0.792.560. Title: The Fuller Memorandum. Deposit date: 6 December 1941. Storage location: Stack Vault 10.0.792.560. Copy status: Forbidden. Classification: Beyond Top Secret, Z Clearance. Expiration: Does not expire. Code words: Teapot, White Baron, Case Nightmare Green. See also: Z Angleton, Z Execution Protocols, Z Final Exit. End of index entry. Classified: S7647. Dear John, once again greetings from Ravel. I hope you can forgive my lack of enthusiasm. It's godforsaken cold here in January. I thought I knew what winter was. Moscow in winter is enough to teach anyone a grudging respect for Jack Frost, but this is absolutely unspeakable. There are few railways in Estonia, and those which remain after the armistice are under military control to deter any passing fancy that might occur to Comrade Trotsky in his spare time. I'm sure we shall not be invaded again, at least before he has finished pacifying Siberia, but one can hardly blame Mr. Peep for his caution. I have a most unexpected cause to write to you. A gift horse just presented its head at my transom window. Such a gift horse was this that it would be insane not to look it in the mouth. But I have inspected its back teeth, and I assure you that the mare is, although middle-aged, by no means anything other than that which it appears to be. Namely, the bereaved mother of the prodigal we were discussing in our earlier correspondence. It seems that my sympathetic questioning made more of an impression on Madame Heuningen-Höhner than I imagined. There was a brief thaw in the bitter cold we have lately been experiencing, and being of a mind to visit the capital for a few weeks, she took advantage of it. She is even now ensconced in our parlour, where Yevgenia is entertaining her. And the prodigal son's fossil collection? Take them, she cried. Oscar told me how they caught your fancy. Perhaps you know of a curator in London who will put them to some better use. Vile things. I don't want to remember my son by them. Her man, who was burdened with a heavy box all the way from Rapla to Ravel, can only have wholeheartedly agreed. And so they are even now in a shipping trunk, awaiting more clement weather before I dispatch them to you by sea. Madame Heuningen-Herne is a sensitive soul, and her life has been blighted by domestic tragedy, from her first husband's breakdown and incarceration to the deaths of two baby daughters, and now to the fate that has overtaken her son, however much he might have deserved it. She takes little interest in politics, and is transparently what she is, the daughter of Baron von Wimpfen of Hesse, wife of Baron Oskar von Heuningen-Herne, a devoted family lady. Quite why her life has circled this vortex of unspeakable tragedy eludes her entirely, as does the nature of her privileged upbringing and the precarious status of the Prussian aristocracy in the Baltic states. But she is near to 60, a child of the previous century, and simply unable to adapt to the chill winds of change sweeping the globe. He wrote to me often of his fears and uncertainties, she said, showing me a sheaf of letters. I think she needed to share her pain, that of a mother for her son, the last love and succor of any man, however much of a brute he may be. You see, he was by inclination deeply religious, but unfortunately it brought him much pain. I hold the shamanic Eastern mystics responsible. Vile Orientals. And the Jews. Her aristocratic nostrils flared. If they hadn't from